You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hey guys, welcome to Desperate, or welcome back, hopefully. This is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit the Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and I am watching this series for the first time. You might have heard me just watch the first four episodes, so I'm not a virgin anymore.
I'm Jordan, and I have seen this show many times, the first four episodes more than the other episodes. That's how far we've gone so far. But we hope you're enjoying, and we hope that you've been watching it with us. If you're new to the show, or if you've seen it before, you can check it out on Amazon Prime through IMDb TV or on Hulu. Both of those are great options to watch along with us. But of course, as always, you do not have to do that. We go pretty in depth with the storylines. You can kind of follow along just listening to us if watching that show is not your thing. Either way, it's a fun time, and we hope you're enjoying the ride with us.
Yes, and whatever you do decide to watch or not watch or just listen to us or do whatever you do with your life, we would appreciate if you rate and review us on scale of 1 to 10, just on our Instagram pictures. Just put the number that you think. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a LA 5. Seattle 10. No, rate and review our podcast on Apple Music, please. It would help us out a lot, as well as just checking us out on social media if that's your thing. Maybe you're a Luddite. Maybe you are living in a... I wouldn't think if you're like living van life that you're listening to podcasts, but maybe that's all you do in your van.
Yeah.
Check us out on social media. You can find us at Desperate Pod on Instagram and at Desperate_Pod on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And we have a website as well, just Desperate Podcast. And our email is DesperatePod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And if you do just go to our Instagram, we do have a link there that kind of has a little link tree that will take you to all the different sites we just listed, as well as where to listen to us and how to get to our podcast. But like we said, you know, rating us, super important, helps us out, gets us out there, tell your friends about us, good old grassroots.
We like to take you through, as you may know, what's been going on so you're not completely lost as we enter our recap, if you haven't caught up. But we'll take you through where the women are at after four episodes. And after that, last week we introduced a new segment called Desperate Deeds, which maybe was funny. We hope it was funny.
Yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy listening to that.
Hopefully it made you like not feel bad about something desperate you did. Yeah. We all have desperate things.
This is a safe space for desperation.
Yeah, you can be as desperate as you want here, but everybody does desperate things. If you say you don't, you're lying. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to focus on something desperate we did in our lives, in our past, something we've seen that's desperate, or a pop culture desperate act that we've seen. If we can't think of one, but we always will think of one in our life. So
yeah,
we're going to keep doing that. Let us know how you feel about it. Let us know your desperate moment. But we'll get into that after we recap where the women are.
Yeah.
The women are popping off. Last episode was, we gave it a four apples straight. We both did four apples.
It was a good episode.
There was a strip club. There was an inappropriate depiction of a gay person.
There was ADD medication.
Yeah.
Will they, won't they with medication.
Yeah. Will they, won't they? Yeah. So it was one of my favorites out of four, which isn't maybe saying anything, but... So Susan and Edie were duking it out, and we didn't have our typical round one, round two Edie Susan. It was more Miss Huber Susan round one, round two.
Yeah.
And Susan came out on top. Miss Huber was trying to blackmail her with the measuring cup that she left in the ashes of Edie's house after setting it on fire for Mike's affection. So that was the main storyline with Susan. Edie called Susan desperate. She's like, I'm tired of her desperately flinging herself at Mike when I'm in love with him. And
says the lady literally squeezing a sponge of water over her boobs in front of him. So,
yeah, yikes. But Miss Huber takes this opportunity to just fucking go for Susan. Get some cash out of it. She sees opportunity. She was trying to get that money. Not that Susan has any. I don't know what gave her that impression. That's what was going on there. Susan steals the cup back, but in this pursuit, she ends up forfeiting tickets to a date with Mike to a movie festival.
Really quick, in the last episode, we didn't note this, but I love that Mike's just kind of being treated like he has no say in this. Like, Susan's just like, I give up my ticket to Edie, and that's that on that. And, like, these two women are competing, and Mike's like, has anybody asked him who he likes more? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, if I was dating a guy and I gave up my ticket, if, like, something was happening and I was like, you could go with her, I guess. I'd be livid if he was just like, yeah, I'll go with her.
Like, what on earth?
I'd be like, we're never seeing each other again.
Yeah, no, I'd be like, so you don't like me,
got it. This is really just a test. Yeah. He just doesn't know of it. Yeah, he's looking like a puppet over here. That's where she was. And Gabby, we didn't see much of John and Gabby, which made me feel good because it's an icky situation. This is the girl that's committing statutory rape on the reg.
Regularly.
She likes 16-year-old boys. We saw this last episode. She was hollering at them.
She has a type.
She's a type. It's 16-year-old
high
men.
School boys.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call them men. They're boys. You're right. So her husband is suspicious that she's cheating, and he's right, but he targets the wrong guy, which happens to be a cable guy that did some work on their house.
Yeah.
Little did he know that this cable guy was gay, and he goes and commits a hate crime accidentally and beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's where we end up there. And, yeah, nothing else really notable there. That's what's up with Gabby.
Lynette's storyline basically boils down to if she's going to medicate her children with ADD medication. She kind of discusses it with a couple of the housewives, and then she basically decides that she's not going to do it and medicates herself with some wine at the end of the day. So her kids are a challenge, and she just doesn't want to lose the good stuff with her kids.
Yeah, she's hitting that bottle.
Yeah. And it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Storyline.
Heartfelt moments. Yeah. Made us both a little bit teary-eyed. Yeah. She was super cute. Bree lies to her children about Rex moving out. And this affects Andrew on a deeper level. So much so that he seeks refuge in a titty bar.
Yeah.
With his bros.
And we have a pretty great Bree moment in this episode of her busting down a door and rolling up to a strip club.
Was working out hard. Yeah, she busts down her son's door, figures out where he's at, slut shames some strippers right in front of her. She didn't even give them any money, by the way.
I know.
She didn't even stick any money in their panty lines.
Terrible.
They end up coming to a nice conclusion together. Andrew and Bree meet in the middle, and they both say that they miss Rex and they don't want him to move out, and that's causing a lot of trauma and emotion right now for both of them. So he doesn't get his door back, though. Although they come to an emotional conclusion, he still has to live without a door.
Yeah.
So that's where we left the ladies, and we're excited to see where they're going next.
As always.
I'm all for this smooth ride. It's not a smooth ride, but it's one I'm enjoying.
Yeah. And then in regards to kind of our overarching mystery, we do get a little bit of movement there in that Paul finally gets the note. They give him the note that Mary Alice got, which kind of results in him making up a clear lie about what the note was to the ladies, and the ladies don't buy it. He's like trying to act like Mary Alice is talking to herself via note.
Yeah.
I don't know, threatening everybody. The episode ends with him hiring a private investigator to look into who the heck was blackmailing his wife. Like any good husband would do. He wants to know what the heck happened.
I guess. Yeah, we don't know what happened with the trunk from several episodes ago. Mm. We don't know what's up with Mr. Mike Delfino. We know that he's a little suspect in a different way than Paul. Mm-hmm. He seems there's something going on with him. So we were left with that mystery, and hopefully we pick that back up.
Yeah.
So we hope you're prepared and ready. Are you guys buckled in?
I hope they are.
Yes.
I feel like we're in for a wild ride today.
We hope you're buckled in for Desperate Deeds as well, because we're going to cover that next. So buckle up. I started last week, I think. Mm-hmm. So what was your Desperate Deed this week?
This time, I'm going to turn the tables a little bit. So at a job I had a security guy at the hotel that I was working at give me some unwanted attention, you know, was trying to chat me up. So I always had my headphones in. And if I didn't have a headphone in, this guy would run over to me to point out the fact that I didn't have my headphones in so he could finally talk to me. And this happened multiple times over multiple months. And it got to the point where in the like vein of Julia's last desperate moment of avoiding it, I just started wearing my headphones regardless if I was listening to anything at all times, if I wasn't in my office.
Avoid it.
To avoid it. So I guess it was a desperate moment on him and on me. Sure, he was maybe a nice guy. Who knows? I just tried to avoid it at all costs. But folks, maybe if someone has their headphones in and they don't want to be talked to, the moment they take them out is not the time to run up and point out the fact that you now can talk to them.
He was constantly, you said he was in security.
Yeah.
I wonder if he had you on video and was like watching you for like when the headphone was out.
Yeah, they're like radioing him. Her headphones are out.
I've definitely had a work crush. I don't think I was like running to him when like...
This guy fell down into a bush one time because he wasn't paying attention.
I kind of like that. That's kind of funny. I mean, you should need that. I not need it, but like that's the level someone should be going to talk to you.
I respected his effort.
I respect the effort, but it was unwanted attention.
Yeah.
We all have a little bit of that somewhere in our life.
So I'm going to call that desperate
deed. It was desperate. It's okay. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, sorry,
Does he listen? Can he
listen? I
highly
doubt it.
I hope so.
Maybe someday he'll stumble upon this podcast and it'll ring a bell.
Shout out desperate security guy. Shout out desperate coworker. We know you all have one somewhere. Yeah. So... mine also has to do with work. It's a little bit more wholesome this week.
Okay.
And it's not about me. I don't like to think I'm desperate at work.
Okay,
I've had the workplace romance. Not desperately, but it's happened. It's not what this was about. So this week I was working on a big project. They were like, deadlines. Like, do this. I like didn't sleep. I don't know. I just was doing this project and they were like, it needs to be done, drop dead, like by Friday at 5 or something. And... I was working with a partner, and he is, like, a VP. Like, I have mad respect for this guy. I, like, love him. He has a great voice, New Yorker voice.
Mm-hmm.
Work with a lot of New Yorkers, and I love their accents. They probably hate mine. They're like, why does she talk so slow? Why does every word take 10 minutes? They hate me. But I love his accent. He's probably been there for, like, 30 years. He's mm-hmm. very accomplished. I love working with this guy. But we were working in some sort of template that was, like, very difficult for everybody. It was difficult for me, but somebody showed me how to, like, adjust it so I could do what I needed to do in it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't connect with him throughout the day very much, and he struggled, like, super hard with his template to the point that our reviewers or, like, our review system was like, you need to fix everything in this template. And he's like... So we get on a call with these people, and they're like, yeah, the template's all fucked up, and you need to fix the stuff. And he's like, oh, God. Like, I knew his frustration because I'd been there, like, a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, don't worry. Like, I can help you. Just send him my way. And so he's like, okay, I'll tag you everywhere that you need to fix, like, in our review system. And I'm like, yeah, do that and, like, send it over. He proceeds to tag me in about, like, 20 comments, and he goes, @Julia, and help! Exclamation point. Every single comment, it just says, Julia, help.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I know this level of desperation at work where you're like, the fucking formula won't work or something.
Yeah.
And he's so desperate. And it's like 4:30 at this point. We need it done by 5. Mm-hmm. And he's like, help. And then he finishes all off. I'm getting individual emails that he's tagging me in this review system.
Mm-hmm.
He finishes it off with sending me another email just from him. And he's like, Julia, please help me. And... the email title is help! Exclamation point.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I got this. And then I do the thing and I like go and get my taxes done or something. Like I signed off. It was Friday at 5, and that's early for us New York hour people. Like mm-hmm. they like to work till 6:30 or 7. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
But I had taxes to do that day. And so I was like out and about, and I get a call from him on our like chat thing. Mm-hmm. You can call people and it'll show up on my phone because it's all hooked up. And he calls me and he's like, they're asking for more reviews and I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Oh no.
And I'm like, it's good. Like, this other girl took care of it for us. And he's like, wait, so I don't have to do it? I'm like, no, you're good. It's like Friday at 7 now. Like, it's we're good.
Just like we're done.
I'm like, it's cool. And he's like, oh, thank God. He's like, next week, please for the love of God, like, show me how to fix this thing. And I'm like, okay. So he was a little bit desperate in the cutest way possible. Yeah. And I thought that I've been there, that level of desperation at work where you're about to, like, throw your computer.
Yeah, you're over it.
So I'm glad it worked out for both of us. We were able to help each other out. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a cute, desperate moment.
That is a
moment.
Cute, desperate moment.
He's like this little old man. I love it. So we hope that gets you ready for the desperate moments we're about to see with these ladies.
Absolutely.
So as always, sit down, kick off those heels, and buckle up.
Buckle up.
We'll see you on the other side.
Season 1, Episode 5, Come In, Stranger. The ladies are on edge after a break-in on Wisteria Lane. Susan meets a cop and agrees to go on a date. She realizes she should be on watch for her relationship patterns. Mike Delfino has a close call of his own with the same cop. He also has secrets. Bree bonds with Mary Alice Young's son, Zach, over losing a loved one. He ends up leaving a present at her house. Oh. Lynette and Tom strategize about how to get their boys into private school. They find it will take a little sacrifice. Gabrielle's home is invaded by an unexpected visitor, her mother-in-law. Together, the women question how truthful the late Mary Alice Young's husband is being with them about her mental state.
All right, welcome back.
We're back. That was a big episode. I feel like a lot happened in that episode.
How do you guys feel about breaking and entering?
I feel like it happens a lot on the show. Is this happening that often?
We've seen it like every episode in one respect or another.
Yeah.
So this episode was all about the breaking and entering. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we talked about it our first episode, how we would feel if somebody was just in your backyard breaking and entering.
And this episode features like two solid breaking and enterings
in different ways. Yeah, in the house. Yeah. Nothing was really off kilter. It's like people broke and entered and didn't steal anything even.
It was like the weirdest versions of breaking and entering.
That's even creepier. I prefer somebody would break and enter and steal some shit from me rather than just move something. Mm-hmm. That's the creepiest. Yeah. So let's just dive into it. The breaking and entering happens at this woman named Alberta Fromm's house. And Mary Alice Young introduces Miss Alberta Fromm. We all know one. We all have one on our block. She's a cat lady. Mm-hmm. My future. I can't wait. I'm going to be Miss Alberta Fromm.
Yeah.
She's a cat lady, and she arranges for people to watch her cat when she's out of town. And unfortunately, she had to ask Susan this time.
I'd be nervous for Susan to watch my cat.
Oh, for sure. I'd be nervous for her to just live next to me. I'd be like, your energy is putting me off.
She's already burned someone's house down.
She needs some crystals or some shit.
She does need
some. She needs something.
I don't know how I feel about crystals, but it can't hurt.
I don't know. For her, she's got a lot of frantic energy. Mm-hmm. So common knowledge on the lane that Susan, wherever Susan went, bad luck followed. And it was commonplace to the truly bizarre. She has all types of shit happening to her. And Alberta's worried about this. Why is she worried about this? Just because Susan can't handle anything. Mm-hmm. And Susan goes to check on the cat. She's like, Mr. Whiskers. And she finds all the drawers open in the kitchen, and she's like, cats can't open drawers. And this was my first like, oh god.
Like, oh, Susan.
And Julie's there with her, and Susan, Julie's like, mom, you're an airhead.
Yeah, like, mom, Jesus Christ.
Yes. So Julie's like, this is a break-in. What the fuck. There's a screwdriver on the counter, and they're wandering around the house seeing what's up. Which, if there's an intruder, I mean, I don't think you should wander around the house if you see things are amiss and be like, there was an intruder and a break-in. He could still be in your house. And in this situation, he is.
Yeah.
I'm saying he. I assume it's a he. We see the shoe. It's a manly shoe. He opens the door. The shoes. We see the shoes sneak over the door while the women are wandering around the house.
Yeah.
And the cat gets out with him. And you're like, no, not the cat. We can't take this L this early. And then he puts the cat back in. And it's Susan's lucky day.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have to be.
Changed.
Yeah, her luck changed. So that's our opening, and we get the theme that this episode is going to be about breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Whether that's literal or emotional.
Yeah.
We kind of started with Susan. We can just continue along.
Yeah. So with Susan in this episode, I mean, the episode kind of opens with like a neighborhood watch meeting, which kind of kicks off her storyline because that's where she meets Officer Thompson. She's like wants the screwdriver. There's a screwdriver that's found in the house.
Yeah.
And so she wants it to be fingerprinted. And like this guy is flirting with her at the neighborhood watch meeting. So yeah. He offers to do it.
Well, also, yeah, we see the neighborhood watch meeting. It's at Lynette's house. And Mike is there. And he is he's mean mugging Susan.
He is.
Susan waves
at
him.
Between the last. Oh, I guess he went. I guess she turned him
down.
He
got forced to go on a date with Edie.
That's right.
He wasn't even forced, though. Like I said, if my boyfriend.
He could have just said no.
I mean, not even that he's her boyfriend. Yeah. If some dude I was talking to was just okay with going on a date with another girl, I'd be like, get out.
Yeah.
We're done. Find another motherfucker. So he's mean mugging her. She waves at him and he literally head nods, no eye contact. Like,
it's weird.
Sup. Yeah. But like, fuck you.
Yeah.
There's tension there. She meets the officer and I'm surprised he didn't make a screwdriver joke. But
I mean, he totally could. There was like ample opportunity to. There is a good screwdriver pun later in the episode, but I'll get to
there it. There are. Yeah. There's a. I don't even know if it's intentional.
I don't know if it's meant to be taken that way.
I don't
way.
Think it was. I almost noted it, but I feel like I didn't write it down because I wasn't sure.
But basically, like, she goes, or the officer kind of like, I don't know, like tricks her into going, like forces her to go on a date with him. Like the whole, like he like asked her out and she, after some pushback, she finally like agrees to go out with him. Like the whole episode she's talking about, she doesn't want to find another Carl in disguise. And she goes on the date with him and it turns out he did not get the screwdriver fingerprinted. And so he lied to her to go on a date.
Yeah.
And she leaves the car where she's in a kind of a bad neighborhood. Everyone thinks she's a prostitute.
Once again, I have to point out there's a slut-shamey, they don't slut-shame, but they once again depict sex work in a way that is not, it's not in a favorable light.
But I think Susan is like more tactful than like Brie is.
Yeah, she was more tactful, but I still thought the writers were like not nailing
wasn't great.
Sex work.
No. And then Mike ends up picking her up. I mean, that's pretty much where her story, that's pretty much her story for the episode.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
So it starts at that party. She hangs with the cop, which all cops are bad. Mm-hmm. She hangs with him and he inserts himself. He's like, I'll get this printed for you. And it's a little bit flirty.
Yeah.
And then she's cleaning up with Gabby, and Gabby's giving her an interview about Mike, essentially. She's like, weren't you an item? What's up?
Yeah, what, I thought you guys were an item.
Like, give me the dish. They're not friends. Gabby, this is, I don't know. Gabby doesn't like them, so I don't know why she even cares. But
when she makes, like, the comment, my favorite line in the episode, where she's like, the officer was, like, staring at you the whole night, and Susan's like, what, like, what, how did you notice? Or you noticed that? And Gabby's like, I always notice when someone's not staring
at me. Yes, I thought about that. And I'm like, what a rude bitch.
I know. Like, I was like, all right, damn, sis.
I wouldn't even want to be friends with, if I was like just becoming friends with somebody and they said something like that, I'd be like, ugh, like, gross, right, whatever. Next time we see Susan, she's outside watering her lawn and the cop rolls up.
Yeah.
And he's like, took it into evidence, call you if I hear something, but I want to call anyway. And I at first was like, this is pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that line was smooth. And I'm like, he seems cool. She's like, no, not really. I don't want to go on a date with you.
Yeah, she
and
really wasn't.
He's straight up like, I don't get it.
Well, he's like, he fakes a hostage call and is like, I'm going to do it. They'll probably all die because I'm so disappointed that you won't go out with me. I'm like, is he like...
My opinion shifted quickly of him after this when he gaslights her.
I didn't think that was charming. I thought that was whack. I thought that was a red flag. He's like lying to her to basically make her go on a date with him.
I don't know if he was trying to be cute, but it wasn't cute.
He's manipulating her.
He was manipulating her. And yeah, I thought the line was smooth. I'd like to call you anyway. But then when he starts gaslighting her, I'm like, ew, what the fuck?
No, it was weird.
So Susan falls for it though, but she... It's like, I'm in a situation, it's hard to explain, and he can't accept this. And he's like, I'm not used to being rejected. Gaslights her with this hostage call story. Mm-hmm. And she goes for it, though. And I'm
she's like,
what?
Charmed by it.
I was like, that was the reddest flag of my life.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, and I'm realizing this is her thing.
She likes terrible men.
Yeah, okay. And he ends it in the worst way possible. He's like, they'll all probably literally die anyway. or something like that. He gets in his car because she's like, what about the hostage situation? He's like, we all die anyway. He says something weird like that. And I'm like, this guy is a weirdo.
Yeah, I already the vibes were off.
So
the vibes
were off. And then we get a Thin Blue Line mention. And
I was shook by that.
Both of us didn't realize, okay, because last year, let's all recall, there was a huge, like, social justice mm-hmm. movement that is really important to our society mm-hmm. right now and always. And that was really the first time that I'd ever heard that phrase used from the people who I don't even know how to explain it.
I didn't know that was like a term.
It was a phrase that people were using who didn't agree with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. That might be an overgeneralization of the people who use that term, but mm-hmm. it's not a favorable term in my opinion. I didn't know in 2004 that was a phrase.
No, I guess like that's a common term, and we're learning this now from Desperate Housewives.
It was shocking.
Yeah, I was like, a thin blue line.
She says, thank God for the Thin Blue Line. And I'm like, I don't like Susan anymore. Susan already does not get Housewife of the Week.
No,
for that.
She's already lost.
I'm over it. So whatever. She goes to say hi to Mike after this because you all know that feeling when you really like somebody and you're like trying not to, and you accept a date with somebody else because you're just fucking trying to live your life.
You're trying to like just do anything else. You don't want to like sit around and dwell. Like, she's not trying to like sit around and be like obsessed with Mike if he's not into her.
But you can't stop thinking about them. Yeah. So you go over there and you say hi.
She's not even going over there to say hi. She's like going over to tell him about the date. Ask him how he feels about it.
I have to say, bad move, Susan. I'm not about this move at all.
I have told somebody that I liked that I was going on a date.
Yeah.
And it
did it turn out okay for you?
I mean, it turned out okay, but like in the moment, no. Like, it just made me look like a fucking idiot.
I'm trying to think. Oh, I did that too. Actually, I've done that too. It didn't turn out bad, but the guy was just like, I don't want to hear about it. And I'm like,
yeah, the person doesn't clear. No matter what, they're not going to want to hear about it.
They never want to hear about it.
No. And then it just causes like tension. Like, it's like, oh.
I'm only because I want to talk about you. I remember it was terrible. It went terribly for me. Mm. It went terribly for that guy. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's and Susan, not a good move.
If our stories aren't enough, Susan's story should be enough.
Learn from us and Susan.
Yeah. So she's like, she goes over to Mike and she's like, he's running fingerprint on this screwdriver and just comes out and says that he asked her out. Mm-hmm. And she's like, how does that make you feel, Mike?
Crazy.
Hands the microphone over. Yes. She's like, Mike, how does it make you feel?
Yes. No, I was like, bold move, sis. Like, there, what? Why would she do that? My brain is like, why would she point blank ask him that question? It's one thing to be like, I'm going on a date. It's another thing to be like, I'm going on a date. How do you feel about it?
My mind was doing the same thing yours was. I was like, why would you even ask? Like, you can tell him as like collateral. Mm-hmm. Just be like, just so you know what I'm up to. You're not the only one on my radar, mister. But she was like, how's me feel? And he doesn't have a good answer. He's like, I can't talk about it. He dunks on her because he doesn't have an answer. And then she just tries to storm off, and takes it back. He's like, wait, things are just complicated in my life.
Yeah.
And Susan walks her sorry ass home, is pissed about it. But she went out to hurt her own feelings that day by doing that. I do have to say, you're out to hurt your own feelings.
Yeah.
You're pulling that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And we've both done it. We're not
sad. Yeah, we've both done it, so we know.
But then we see the screwdriver is missing from his garage. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh, shit, he's the one in Miss Fromm's house.
Ooh.
If you put it together that early, might not have. But next, she's complaining to Lynette about hurting her own feelings. Mm-hmm. And Lynette's, they're in the front yard. She's talking about Mike rejecting her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I wanted him to be jealous. And Lynette's sorry about, like, the night at the party. At the neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's just like, I'm just sorry that things aren't working out for you, that he ignored you.
Well, and Susan talks about, like, because Mike says, like, it's complicated. She's like, what does that even mean? Like, am I dealing with another Carl? Like, because, like, they talk about how she's, like, so quick to, like, fall in love, basically. Like, it's kind of like what we talked about in an earlier episode. Like, how well do you know people?
You just don't.
Yeah. And Susan's like, a guy fucking smiles at me 3 times and I'm picking out wedding china. And I was like, all right, sis.
I like that she knows herself, though. Yeah. I think the first step is awareness.
Well, she's trying to stop that pattern. That's why she's having this conversation. She's like, okay, like, I know this about myself. Like, maybe, and I think maybe that's why she's open to going on another date. It's like, okay, I need to, like, not just obsess over this one person.
Yeah. So I like the step she's taking. Mm-hmm. Do I think it should be with a cop who sucks? No.
No.
And also Susan says a line that's like, I might have just imagined this whole thing with Mike. And I'm kind of like, you did. Like, he's not your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And also, what the fuck?
Also, she gave him just as many mixed signals as he gave her.
Lynette is like, I saw flirting, though. Yeah. And I'm like, still not a relationship. You are imagining shit, Susan.
Yeah.
It's a nice talk. We get to see the internal workings of Susan, mm-hmm. that she's aware of this problem. I'll call it a problem because it is.
Yeah.
We see Mike meeting up with his boss, who is a weathered old man with a hard character.
Yeah. So this is where we kind of get like some push forward with like the Mike mystery. Basically, yeah. We know he's working for this guy. The guy does say a comment, don't screw it up next time.
Yes, that was what I was thinking.
I was like, but they don't play it as a joke. So I was like, okay.
There was not a laugh track.
I was like, I don't know if this is supposed to be like a pun or not.
Mike fucked up almost getting caught. He left the screwdriver. He tells this to his boss. And the music is like fast paced and ominous.
Yeah.
Very mysterious.
But the guy's basically like, you better hope they don't figure out who you are. And so we don't really know why he's working for that guy, but he's watching the neighborhood. That's what we know.
So Susan ends up going on this date after we see this scene with Mike.
Yeah.
They're literally on his shift. She meets up with him while he's on a shift as a cop. Is that legal? No. She's in his cop car. And I'm like, if a dude rolled up to pick me up in his cop car, like, it's not a sexual fantasy. Like, it's not a cop fantasy.
No.
Not like, arrest me. Like, what's happening?
They're, like, in a bad part of town. Like, it seems dangerous what they're doing.
It's so weird.
And they're, like, looking up. They're abusing his system by looking up people she hated growing up. And, like, I don't know. The whole thing's, like, super whack and, like, I don't find him okay. I didn't, even when he was like still acting nice or whatever, I didn't think he was attractive. I didn't think he was like funny. Like, he just seems like a clear like douchebag.
No, nothing about him was cool or cute like or unique. I was just like, this guy is really douchey from the get-go.
Yeah.
All of his jokes are bad. He gaslit her into going on a date with him, and then he's like doing this weird abuse of power. Mm-hmm. It's fucking weird. So the date, though, Susan looks like she's having an okay time, even though we hate this date.
Yeah.
It's like your girlfriend who comes back from dating a complete douchebag. And she's mm-hmm. like, I love him. And you're like, ugh, I wish you didn't.
You're like, great.
Yeah, sick. I can't wait to deal with this for 6 months. Like, so then he is like changing from his cop uniform. I guess he gets off his shift and he's changing. And he has a shirt in his trunk. And Susan sees the screwdriver hasn't been turned in, not run for prince. And she's like, what the fuck? This is what throws her, not the gaslighting situation or the lying about the hostage. This is the screwdriver.
Well, and like, he immediately becomes like so terrible. Like, he's basically like, he calls her a psycho. He calls her like all these crazy names when she's like upset about it.
Yeah. So she pops off and she's like, you lied about this. And what else are you going to lie about? Kind of. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you are Carl in disguise. Like, she notices early on that this is not a good thing. And so she's like,
it's not charming behavior for him to lie to get you to go on a date.
Yeah. And
lied twice. He lied twice to her to get her on a date.
Basically, she like dips. She's like, I'd like to go home. And he's like, good fucking luck. He doesn't take her home. And as she walks away, he is calling her a psycho and a bitch and like name calling. And I'm like, this guy's just not even like a bad guy. He's an abuser.
He's scary.
This was abusive behavior. And I think this is an accurate depiction of like, okay, they get a lot of things wrong on this show. Mm-hmm. But I think this is an accurate depiction of, like, abusive, shitty behavior that you should never put up with. He did this thing where he was like, you're psycho. You're overreacting. And mm-hmm. she's like, I don't like that you lied. And he's like, oh, so you want me to beg? I'll beg you to
stay. And he gets on his knees. He actually gets down on his knees for a second. I was like, you're such a like, oh, I shouldn't say that. You're such a dick. Like, what the fuck?
I'm going to bleep it out.
My bad.
Yeah. I'm going to bleep it out. So, are we triggered? Are we triggered or not triggered?
I'm triggered. I'm clearly triggered.
I mean, it's true, though.
He's just patronizing her. Like, he's being, as every possible mean thing he could do in that scene, he does.
So, this is abusive behavior when they say something mean to you and then they try to make up for it. Mm-hmm. And then they do something mean and then they try to make up. So, I was immediately like, ugh.
And they patronize you for having feelings about something.
Yeah. So, I'm glad Susan gets out of this, but she's in a shitty part of town and she doesn't have a phone for some reason or another.
That's 2004. Cell phones were still kind of hit and miss with certain people.
She asks a prostitute for directions and it's another depiction of sex work. I don't know what she says to the prostitute, but the prostitute is like, this is my corner, kind of. And I was like, okay, we could have not done that line. And then she's like, oh, do you have change for a five? And she's like, what do you think I get paid in quarters? Yeah. I must be doing a bad job. There's a couple hooker jokes, but the hooker gives her a cell phone. And a car rolls up and the girl's like, I got to go do some work. I'll come back for my cell phone in five. And I'm like, this is a lot.
I know, this is just like very like, it's again with like the stereotypes. Like in the last episode with the gay character, yeah, and every stereotype, it's like, what are all the classic things you can put, yeah, for a prostitute?
And then a man tries to pick her up while she's on the phone. She calls Julie and is like, get somebody here to pick me up. Mm-hmm. And who comes but Mr. Mike Delfino.
And he happily sees that Susan is holding that screwdriver.
So yeah, he's relieved.
He's like, bless.
She throws it on the dash. Yeah. He's like, oof, okay. He's like, I'm just happy to see you.
Yeah.
But he's like, sorry, I didn't stop you from dating that cop because, mm-hmm, Black Lives Matter.
He got a BLM sticker, yeah, on his truck.
Yeah. So Susan just spills that this guy was a dick, and she it ends up telling Mike that she likes him a lot. And she's like, I don't know why, but I don't even know you. And isn't that how it always is?
Yeah.
You don't never know anybody and you just have all these feelings. But Mike's an open book and he's like, what do you want to know? And Susan's like, favorite food, sport, and band. And I'm like, okay, sister.
I'm like, damn. Okay.
Okay. I guess you don't have high standards of like what goes on in your significant other's life. But
no.
Then they end up kissing and this is the first kiss we see.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. I mean, it's a lose-win. Like, Susan went through a lot to kiss Mr. Mike Delfino this episode. Yeah. She went on a date with a cop.
Took us five episodes to get here.
Yeah, she went through hell and back to get this kiss, but she secured it. And round one, I guess she didn't need, she's not even competing rounds. Mm-mm. She just, this is all goes to Susan this episode. She, yeah, made it.
I don't, Edie's not in this episode.
No.
We don't get any Edie.
Sad.
Rip.
So that is what's up with Susan. I loved her storyline. Wish we had more Julie, as always. Glad that she secured the bag with Mike. Next, we see Lynette, where we can talk about Lynette. I think this storyline is super fitting for her as Felicity Huffman is the actress, and she had a huge scandal of getting her child into USC. Am I wrong?
Oh, my God. That's right. Yes, she just got out of jail.
Yes. But this storyline is all about her trying to get Preston Parker and Penny or whoever, her kids. Like, I can deport her. she's trying to get her P-named kids,
yeah,
into this private academy.
Barcliff.
Yes, Barcliff Academy. And I love that Felicity Huffman in the future went on to have a huge scandal about schooling.
Yeah, absolutely.
The boys are just per usual, like, ruining her household. She throws a bag upstairs for them, a bag of chips to get them out of her way. She's like, you like chips? Throws them upstairs. And
like they're dogs.
Like they're dogs. She comes home to them just being fucking crazy and is cleaning up after, she doesn't come home to this, but she's cleaning up the party, mm-hmm, the neighborhood watch party with Bree. And they're talking, and Lynette says, I need you to help me get my kids into Barcliff Academy, where your kids went, Bree. Mm-hmm. And Bree is not,
she's like, I don't want to tarnish my name.
Yeah, she's not on board for this off the bat. She, yeah, ends up helping them.
Yeah, so they get the interview. We find out that they have a boat, so I guess they have money.
Money.
Which, like, get a nanny. They should have gotten a nanny.
Maybe they should, yes.
They're wasting their money on a boat that Tom can't ever use because he's never in town. Anyway, a lot of feelings about this boat. They find out that their kids have to be, like, observed if they're going to get in to Barcliff. So they, like, she tuckers them out. She spends a whole day getting them tired and making them work out, basically. They seemingly pass. Well, they pass, like, the test, and then they need the 15. Like, they basically tell them, like, there's another family up. If you can out-donate them, we'll
an
get
endowment.
Your
yeah, they need an endowment. And then she makes Tom sell his boat.
Yeah.
For the endowment, and the kids get in.
I mean, Tom also in this episode suggests homeschooling, which is the most tone deaf thing he could possibly suggest. And Lynette does some fun mental trickery to get him to admit,
yeah,
that he,
Lynette is a marketing genius. If I learned nothing else from her storyline, I'm like, she would be the CMO.
Yeah.
I don't know where the intruder or like breaking and entering theme comes in here. I think it's just the observation. Like Lynette is nervous to have somebody see how her children really are when they need to be observed.
Yeah.
And I think that's intrusive to her, but she manages to make her kids behave for that. And so it ends up working out for them.
I mean, are the breaking and entering, is it her own kids?
Yeah.
She does not want them home.
They are breaking her down. Yeah. So that's what goes on with Lynette. And I think the biggest point here is like this Lynette and Tom working in conjunction as a married couple to solve this problem of their hellion children.
Yeah.
They're little terrorists. I'm on board with you all saying it. They're little terrorists.
They're horrible.
Lynette is a marketing genius, like I said. She makes them, she exercises the shit out of them the day of their behavioral like review so that they'll pass and be calm. And I think that is smart as fuck. She figured out a solution without Tom. Tom had nothing to do with that. She's like making them do sled pulls and like dig a hole, jumping jacks. It's a great montage. That's one moment of her marketing genius. Her other moment of marketing genius is when they're in the initial interview with the dude and Tom almost fucks it up.
Tom's so dumb. Like, I'm like, is Tom dumb?
He's like, our kids are like difficult to deal with. And Lynette comes in with a save and she's like, they're highly advanced. And I'm like, yes, Lynette. So she has a moment of marketing genius there. And then her moment of her peak moment of marketing genius is when she convinces Tom to not do homeschooling. She says that I sacrificed enough by quitting my job where I made more money than you.
Yeah, she's like, so why don't you stay home and I'll go back to work? And he's like, I will lose my mind. And he's like,
And she's like, well, then sell that boat. And that's what they do. So I think we see Lynette come through. She's our smarty pants queen. Tom and her have some unique moments that I really liked. It was just them sitting on the couch talking things over. And Tom's kind of an aloof dick when he suggests homeschooling and things like that. But Lynette makes a joke that's like, maybe I should put the boys back inside me and keep them cooking until they're civilized. And Tom is like, can we?
He's like, would you be up for that?
It's cute. I like that they both hate their kids together.
I think like they're very like compatible, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like them as a couple.
I don't know if that's an ode to their acting or what, but I love.
They have good chemistry.
Yeah, they have great
chemistry. Maybe it is an ode to their acting. Like, I don't know what it is, but I think they have. I mean, we touched on this the last episode a little bit, but like, I like them together. Like, I like of all the couples, like, they have their issues, but they seem like they actually love each other.
Yeah.
Or even just like each other.
Yeah, they're the only couple on the blog that likes each other.
Yeah, and like, they actually work through their problems. Like, even when they talk about it and Lynette's like furious and Tom's acting aloof, like, they talk through it.
Yeah.
And they get to a conclusion.
I mean, he sold that boat.
He did.
And he didn't seem to huff and puff about it.
No, we didn't get that scene. Like, I kind of expected, I know I've seen the show before, but it has been a long time. I was like waiting for him to like push back on the boat, but like they didn't really have that. It was kind of like Tom's like, you know what? If it's that or I have to stay home with these kids, then fuck
it. 15 thou.
Yeah.
My moment of diversity for this episode is when the admissions counselor says, Bree tells me you have twins, and that's unique and that is diverse.
Yeah. I was like,
we are looking for diversity here.
Look, they're two little white boys.
It's two white twins, and it doesn't make you unique to be a twin. I'm sorry. I know several twins. Sorry, you guys. they had the audacity in this episode to be like, that would, they said the word diverse.
I know, they said diversity. I'm like,
oh
what?
My god, it was upsetting. So that's their storyline, and this really does it for me with Lynette. I like her. I mean, I've been liking her storylines. This is maybe my favorite. It was the most involved, where we saw her and Tom, we saw the boys, we saw some struggle, but we saw a solution. And I think, the intrusive part was about them being observed behaviorally and what that meant for Lynette and what it meant for her and Tom to have someone really see what their children are like.
Yeah.
Worked out. So Gabby had a home invasion of her own.
Yes.
And it wasn't with John Roland's dick in her.
No, it was Mama Solis.
It was Mama Solis, maybe Jordan's favorite character.
I love Mama Solis. I hate her, but I love her.
What do you love about her?
I just love, like, she's so unapologetically like Mama Bear for Carlos. And it kind of like makes Carlos make more sense.
Yeah.
Once you meet Mama Solis. And I'm calling her Mama Solis. That's what they call her the whole, like, episode.
When you see the emotions she withheld from him, it makes sense that he's maybe abusive.
And, like, she is, like, she's scary. Like, and I like this, scary. Like, I mean, so Gabby, like, just to break down a brief summary of what happens, basically Gabby is surprised to find Mrs. Solis rolling up. And we are under the impression that she just decided to show up, when in reality, Carlos did ask her to come basically watch Gabby. Gabby's not aware of that, but she can't shake her as she's trying to continue her affair with John.
She is desperate. We're going to use the word desperate. Yeah. It is here because she's desperate for John's dick in this episode.
And, like, we'll get there in a second. But basically, like, she can't shake her. John gets a motel and she never ends up meeting him. And then we get a scene where Gabby, like, basically gets Mrs. Solis arrested, not arrested, like, mall security arrested, so she can go meet up with John, which I have so many, there's a lot to talk about in the storyline, but basically we find out that Carlos's dad, had an affair at one point with a waitress.
Allegedly.
And there is the implication that she murdered him.
Yeah, that was, I'm gonna say, you guys, if you haven't heard the other episodes, I am Hispanic. I look a little white, but I'm Hispanic. I, like, live with my Hispanic grandmother, mm-hmm. have multiple times throughout my life. My mother is 100% Hispanic. My grandmother immigrated here from Mexico. I'm super Hispanic, and I just kept writing accurate throughout my review.
Yeah.
I was like, this is 100% accurate of the Hispanic mother and the Hispanic familial interaction that might be had on a normal basis.
Yeah.
And just overarching, like, relationship between the mom and the son. Mm-hmm. I like Mama Solis as well. She's ruthless.
Yeah.
And she fucking hates Gabby.
Well, I mean, she's right.
I mean, she's, like, not wrong. Yeah.
Not that her son's perfect, but, like, her gut reaction to be like, no, like, Gabby's, like, selfish and, like, you know, has her own issue. Materialistic, I guess.
She is materialistic. Yeah. And she was being a complete bitch to her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
I would never treat my mother-in-law that way.
Even if she didn't like me, I would still be respectful. You know, like, she's not...
You'd have to say something super offensive to me. Okay, I do have to say, and I've been talking about this all week to you, about my fulfillment conversation with a family member, not on my Hispanic side. My Hispanic side is actually not like that, but I had a conversation with a family member that was like, you won't be fulfilled if you don't have children, and that's fucked up to say,
which basically Mrs. Solis says to Gabby,
and that's what she says to Gabby. Mm-hmm. And so I can see the frustration on both ends there and why there might be a little bit of animosity on Gabby's end, but Gabby doesn't have to be such a complete bitch to her.
No, and it's like, that's not gonna help the situation.
Carlos's mom rolls up and Gabby is shaken to her core because she's like, I had plans to hook up with John from 3 to 5 Tuesday and Thursday and 5 to 7 a.m. when he's available. Check out my chart. It's my greatest work. But the mom does intrude on their lives and it's a home invasion. Mm-hmm. And Carlos and her have a heart to heart. Not Carlos and Gabby. Carlos and his mom. Gabby's outside doing yoga, looking fine. And Carlos cries to his mother. Doesn't cry immediately, but they're talking. And she's like, I don't like Gabby. And she's like, do you think she's cheating on you? And Carlos is like, yeah.
And he basically, like, breaks down. And then she slaps the fuck out of him.
She slaps the fuck out of him. And that was accurate. Yeah. Like, your Hispanic family member is going to shake you and be like, wake up.
Yeah. Like, she's like, we don't cry about our problems. We solve our problems.
We solve them.
And I was like, not that I'm anti-crime, but at least that's a good mentality.
With my family, we don't even talk about that. You just deal with them on your own. And so it's the slap heard around the world. Carlos pulls it together and he's like, I have so much respect for you for raising me alone. Like, sucks that dad left for the waitress. We see Gabby the next day, or maybe hours later, and Gabby is stuck with the mother. she's texting John, like, need the dick, meet me at the motel. And yeah. I noted that I'm like, she's really fucking up this guy for the rest of his life.
First of all, she makes him pay for the motel.
Yeah, she makes him
pay. He said he saved his lunch money for a month. He saved his lunch money.
I had a problem with that.
That was gross. I was like, ew. Ew.
Ew.
He saved his lunch money, and they have this horrible conversation in, like, the shed or garage, whatever it is. I hated this scene.
Yeah,
I thought she was like gaslighting him. She was like, oh, you don't want me? It's like, how, what? Like, it was like so ugly.
Yeah, she says, meet me at the motel. And I'm like, you're causing psychological trauma for him for the rest of your life, of his life.
Yeah.
You don't even care. And she never shows up at that motel because she can't shake Mama Bear.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
I'm just giving the background,
but then she's in the garage.
Well, and they have this whole conversation where he's like, I don't know if we should do this. Like, I should date girls my own age. And she, like, I didn't like this. It's made me uncomfortable.
Where also was, an like, abuser, a depiction of abuse. This is a different,
like, emotionally manipulates him.
Version of abuse. And this is what happens to young, impressionable people, men and women.
Yeah.
When people in quote unquote power, I mean, this girl doesn't have, like, she's just older and like has money and hires him. So yeah, it is a person of power.
She pays him technically.
Yeah, she's his boss. Mm-hmm. So this is fucked up. She emotionally abuses him. And he changes his tune real fast though, because he's like, I don't want this anymore. Oh, I turned down half the pep squad for you.
I turned down half the he turned down Ashanti for her.
I know. He's like, I broke up with all my other hoes. John Tucker is now single and he's here. Yes. Maybe John Tucker was a sex addict.
Yeah.
So they have this dispute, but when it comes down to it, when they're really throwing down, John is like, no, I want you.
But she, like, has this whole conversation with him where she's like, do you not want me? I thought you said young, like, high school girls didn't interest you.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I mean, I guess I already said it, but it was just gross. That scene made me uncomfortable. And then they agree that they're going to meet outside the mall.
Like, yes, that was the worst conclusion to it. I was like, all these things are just so telling that he's, like, a child.
Yeah. So they, like, go to the mall, and she gets Mama Celeste basically trapped in the fitting room in an outfit too small. She can't get her clothes on and off fast enough. And then she puts, like, the little secure, like, a sweater with security tag into her bag.
I do have to say, she has a lot of moments where she thinks on her feet.
She's good at getting away with this affair.
Anything for the dick, I guess.
Anything for John.
She thinks fast when there's a dick involved. Mm-hmm.
And, like, she meets, okay, this was crazy though. So she gets outside the mall. Mama Celeste is getting arrested or whatever. She sees John, and just, like, right outside the mall,
they
just
makes out with him.
I was like, in front of people, like, what?
That's what I'm saying. She wants to be caught.
She's committing, like, a felony outside in public.
Yeah, that's a felony.
That's, like, horrible.
Holy hell.
Like, she's not even trying. It's not even about, like I said, like we said last episode too, like, it's not about hiding it from Carlos at this point. Like, she will be a sex offender.
She's a sex offender. It's gross. So, yes, they get what they wanted. They make out. They fuck somewhere. I don't know. But at the end of the episode, Gabby and the mom have another heart-to-heart.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's when we find out that Mama Bear killed her husband.
Yep.
Because he laid hands on her son.
While possibly murdering her husband is a bit extreme. I do, like, that is something I like about her, though, is, like, he put hands on Carlos. She's Mama Bear. That does not apply.
My great-grandma left a man like that, left his ass, and took her daughter to America for that alone. Yeah. And
that's a badass move to, like, get rid of your little breadwinner and do it on your own to protect your children. So I have to say, I'll give her credit where credit is due.
Yes.
Mama Solis is an intruder, but she's just looking out for her boy.
She's looking out for her son, and rightly so, because Gabby, because
she is doing the thing that they're suspecting.
5 episodes ago, I was hating on Carlos a lot. I kind of have a little bit more respect for him.
It's like, I still don't really like Carlos, but I agree.
I, like, can understand where he's coming from.
Especially when you see him, like, break down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, when he says, like, I've given Gabby everything she's ever asked for.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is true, though. Because, like, we talked about this in, like, episode 2, like, when he buys her the car, like, she tells him, like, I want you to surprise me. I want material things. And that's what he does. Like, you have to give him a little bit of credit, I guess.
He's trying. And you see that here. When you see him talk about it more, to somebody else, and it's not just like snippets of like Carlos being the husband.
Yeah,
it's like this is Carlos as the character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She didn't leave at the end.
Kind of ends there,
so I think she's still there.
She's not going anywhere.
Damn.
I think she's gonna like. I mean, she basically implies that she's gonna catch Gabby if Gabby's doing anything.
And good. I kind of hope she gets caught. She wants to be caught. Let's just say
she's not even like I said, making out in public.
Yeah. So we have a lot of problems with Gabby. She's maybe my least favorite housewife. If I have to pick one,
she's my least favorite. Like honestly, I don't like Gabby that much. As I've like rewatched this show, because I think she's not very nice to the other women.
No.
She's like makes really mean comments about Mary Alice for like no reason.
Her dead friend.
Yeah. Like. And what she's doing is, like, really fucked up. And I think this episode especially highlights the emotional toll that she's taking on John. It's kind of icky.
It's super icky to see. Yeah. We see a lot of abuse in this episode in different ways. So
I'm not a big fan of Gabby at this point. I'm not loving any decision she's made up until, I mean, at this, at all.
Ever. We're going to lay her to rest because our last housewife is Bree. And Bree is my queen, usually. I don't know. I haven't had an episode where I hated her.
No, and I actually, this episode, I think I really liked this Bree storyline in this episode.
Bree has a connection with Mary Alice Young's son, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens because her kids are going away to like summer camp or staying with their dad or something is
going
on.
Some weird trip.
Bree is going to be alone because Rex is still living at the motel. Mm-hmm. Bree is going to be alone for the first time in 17 years. And that piqued my interest. I'm like, you didn't have like one night alone. You didn't just go like on a trip by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like that's why you are this way because you fucking spend too much time with your family. Yeah. Go have some you time.
Rex and her kind of have like a discussion about the expectations going forward, which he flip-flops on by the end of their storyline.
Because he's hungry, because he can't feed himself.
Yeah, and we learn about Bree's backstory a little more, like her childhood, some trauma in her life. And we also get like her to get Zach to open up, which my theory is I think Bree is the most like Mary Alice, which is why she and Zach like bond.
Oh, probably.
Because like in the pilot episode, we get like Mary Alice doing all the extra housewifey shit, which is all stuff Bree would do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like they're like that might be why Zach's like drawn to her.
Painting that rustic chair. Yeah.
I just feel like she and Mary Alice seem to have been the most similar lifestyle wise. They were just like very invested in being housewives.
And their family. Yeah. Yeah, that's the gist of it. The breaking and entering here is I think Zach emotionally breaks. Well, he literally breaks into their house eventually and decorates it with Christmas shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he also makes headway with Bree and that she opens up about something really traumatic and tragic in her life.
Extreme.
That both had our eyebrows raised like right off our heads. Like they have a deep conversation, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple instances of intrusion and breaking and entering. It starts with Rex coming over and being like, you need to get used to being alone because our marriage counseling might not work.
To me, that just sounds like he doesn't want it to work. Like he could have, I feel like he could have worked.
You always say this about him. You're like, Rex doesn't want it. Rex
no,
sucks.
No, but it's like he could word it like, he's saying it so like, I feel like it might not work out. And it's like,
that's a fact.
I mean, that's fine, I guess. I don't know. I just felt like the way he said it was like a bit like, like he didn't really seem to care if it works out or not. Like, he was
I don't think
like,
he does. And that's okay.
And that's fine, but he should like, then why?
Yeah, he shouldn't be trying to steal a sandwich, like ask her for food. If he's like, he's being a little bit of a scrub at this point. Yeah. He's been living at a motel for a couple weeks, but that's a taste of his own medicine. You either need to figure out how to take care of yourself and leave her the fuck alone or move back in. And she says that to him eventually.
Yeah, no, she gets her a little snap back when she's like, we need to get used to bad cooking.
Yeah, but there is a mention of the NRA here. So episode 5 of Desperate Housewives sponsored by NRA. He's like, you own like 4 guns. You should feel safe because Bree is saying maybe you should stay here. There's an intruder on the loose. Could be a sexual predator. Come stay here while the kids are gone. And he's like, no. Tries to grab that sandwich and she slaps it out of his hand and is like, you don't get to eat here. You're not staying here.
Yeah.
So that's their talk about expectations. Kind of. She wins that one, in my opinion. I mean,
I think so.
He says, you better get used to being lonely. And she's like, you better get used to not eating.
Yeah.
Like, and facts are facts. And then we see that she breaks and enters at Paul's house, in my opinion. She walks in. She's like, Paul.
Yeah.
Neighborhood watch. She like, opens the door and walks the fuck in.
I also want to note that, like, their neighborhood watch armbands look like Nazi.
They do.
Like, it's the red. Any other color.
Red with a circle with a symbol in it.
I was like, is that Why would they pick that?
I'm glad you picked up on that too.
I was like watching it, like,
they're making some statements. Yeah. NRA, this Nazis band, Thin Blue Line. I'm over it. I think this episode was very telling.
Well, Mark Cherry, just so everyone knows, is a noted conservative.
Okay.
He speaks at like conservative
Shocker.
Functions.
So after seeing episode 5, not good.
Yeah.
We look past that. She sees Zach just scrubbing the floor like he's a slave. Mm-hmm. He's literally scrubbing the floor alone in a dark house. And she's like not concerned about this. She's like, where's Paul? Neighborhood watch. And he says, my dad just left to go somewhere. And I'm like, neglecting you? You're a sixth year in high school. Your dad just left. You don't even know where.
Yeah.
So Bree invites
him. Out of town.
Yeah. It wasn't specific.
No.
He's like, mom liked stuff clean. The varnish is all fucked up from the blood. Mm. And Bree's like, okay.
But I think like that's maybe what leads into her telling her story later.
Yeah.
Is him, the fact that he cleaned up the blood.
Yeah, over plum pudding, he comes over. Mm-hmm. She invites Zach over, and they talk about Christmas. He compliments their Christmas decorations every year. He's like, you guys always have the best house. So they talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Bree talks about how her mom died tragically in a car accident.
She just got hit by a car.
Over
in a
Christmas.
Suburb.
Yeah, in a suburb. Yeah. They were all singing carols, and her mom went to deliver something next door, and her mom just got hit by a car. Mm-hmm. And when she was really young, and she didn't even go to the hospital or something like that, and just her mom died. So mm-hmm. that was pretty, it came out of the blue for us with Bree. As you guys know, she doesn't open up. She doesn't really say much typically about her inner workings. So this was a shocker, and it took us aback.
It took me aback. And she even says, like, she's never told anyone that. Like, yeah. What does she mean when she says that? Like, she didn't tell Rex?
Yes, I guess not. I don't think her and Rex talked about anything. Zach is into this. He's so interested. I think he gives me murder vibes. Like, he might have killed a few animals already. Mm-hmm. He's on his way.
Yeah, he's on his way to serial killer mode.
Yeah, because he's literally way too into this story. And Zach's like, thanks for sharing that. I have a secret, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Bree's like, what?
She's like, tell me.
I actually like this gossip set.
I know. She almost kind of goes, Cheshire Cat smiles, like, ooh.
They should have some mimosas or something, yeah. Like, at brunch. And he's like, I know why my mom killed herself.
And we're all like,
I'm like, what? Bree's like, what? Ah,
yeah.
What?
Hey.
We have a pop-off. And he's like, it's something that I did. And Bree's like, ugh, like, no, nah, nah. Like, that's just not true. Like, Bree, I feel like, realizes, oh, he doesn't. He's just blaming himself.
Yeah, I think that she doesn't he doesn't really go into detail.
It was a disappointing answer. No, yeah. I just felt like it was a guilty answer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's just dealing with grief. And he's like, it's something that I did. And you're like, ugh, not really. But
yeah,
Bree dishes this to Gabby and Susan later. She goes on and she says, I talked to Zach the other day. It was kind of fucking weird. And what should I do about this? Like, should we say something about Paul and Zach about this weird thing going on? Gabby's like, we don't have the note. Like, we don't have any proof mm-hmm. that something suspicious is going on at this yeah. household anymore. Bree's like, maybe I should ask Zach more and just really stick the knife in on his mom's committing suicide like 2 weeks ago. Just
They're
really
like, this is a fun game of Clue for us.
Yeah.
But this is a kid's trauma. Like,
I know. And Gabby's like, just manipulate him. We're women. That's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. Gabby, not everybody wants to emotion manipulate fucking 16-year-old boys.
I know.
Okay.
And
like, we get that that's your thing. But maybe, because then Lynette even says, like, how did you do it with Rex? It's like,
Why
are they using the same tactics?
I don't know.
Why are they acting like this is normal?
She's
like, have him over for a date night.
Yeah, she's like, have him over again. Like, ask him more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this kid is dealing with the death of his mother. Like, it's not casual.
Violent death
you
of
guys
his
are
mother.
Acting like, yet again, this is something casual and social. And
this isn't fun.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I mean, for us it is, but not for the characters in the show.
I think it is nice that Bree is socializing with Zach because mm-hmm. it doesn't look like he has much of that in his life.
No.
And so she invites him over again. She does exactly what these girls suggest, which is a bad choice. And Zach is super excited for this dinner. And I did like to see that. It was cute. He was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And
because he's, like I said, I think Bree is like a surrogate mother figure at this point.
Yeah.
I really do think like she reminds him of his mom.
Yeah. Rex calls, though, and he's like, there's nothing good to eat at the motel. Want to go out to dinner, which is a cop-out. He probably made her pay, let's be honest.
They split the check.
They split the check. You're going to Venmo me for this?
Yeah. He Venmo charged her. He didn't even ask.
He didn't even ask. Oh, my God.
She gets the Venmo charge when she gets home.
Disappointment that such I've had that happen. I had it happen on the car. I don't know if you remember this. We went to Vegas. And I was like, I went out to drinks with this guy I really liked last night. And it was so cool and cute. Yeah. And then we were in the 4-hour car ride.
And he Venmo charged you?
He Venmo charged me.
It's like a cold call, but like with a Venmo charge. So, oh, no.
That's, I'm sorry. That's embarrassing as fuck.
No, it's not embarrassing. I feel like everybody's had something like that where like the guy's like, let's split it, like says it kind of aggressively. Yeah. Or like before Venmo charging was a thing, like what? Like everybody's had like a variation of this happen.
He's like, what's your Venmo handle? And you're like,
what? So you're gonna send me money?
Your morale is low at that point. Yeah. So they go to this dinner. Rex sucks. I don't know why she drops everything. She drops her dinner with Zach to go do this,
which was disappointing.
Zach was on his way over there and she's like, I meant to call you, something came up. And it's like, okay.
I get that like Brie obviously wants to work things out with Rex, so that's like a priority for her, but also, Zach is a child that just lost his mother, and she invited him over for something that was going to be special, like a holiday dinner, something that they had a real heart-to-heart about. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Rex has been not great to Brie. Yeah. I just felt like Brie, like, I was a little disappointed in her choice. I was a little disappointed.
I was super disappointed. I thought that was like, a wrong choice to follow her friend's advice, wrong choice to go see Rex. She should have just hung out with Zach and kicked it. And like,
I just felt like this kid obviously is having, like, she saw him scrubbing the blood stain from his mother.
Yeah,
like clearly he needed something, like he was very emotionally invested in this situation. I don't know, I just felt really bad for Zach. Now how he reacts,
yeah, he breaks into their house and decorates it with Christmas shit and puts up Mary Alice's stocking.
Well, and my favorite thing though is the cops, like someone saw him breaking in. I'm like, why did it take the cops so long to get there? Because he put up a lot of like decorations
he chopped
a tree down. I'm like, these cops must have taken like 4 hours to get there.
He chopped down a pine tree in their front yard and put it up and decorated it. You guys, that was a whole entire day ordeal.
Yeah.
Have you ever decorated for Christmas? You have. I know you have. Yeah. If you're listening. It doesn't.
That took a long time.
It took way too long.
So I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
Just like the cops should have been like, they saw suspicious behavior. They didn't have to say like, oh, they saw someone breaking in. I'm like, and that was the first thing he did.
This is the first arrest for breaking and entering we've had in five episodes of breaking and entering every episode. Glad the cops finally are doing something there. Brie doesn't want him prosecuted. Paul is pissed the fuck off. He comes in. He's like, what are you doing, Zach? Then Zach ends up going home. He doesn't get arrested. And Brie goes to check on him. And she overhears Paul and Zach arguing. And she hears domestic abuse again. Third encounter of domestic abuse this episode. Mm. So she knocks on the door, interrupts his argument. And Zach opens the door. And he's like, everything's fine here. No big deal. Sorry I broke into your house.
Sorry I had a psychotic break and decorated your house for Christmas.
Yeah. And we heard a punch or a hit. We heard somebody, like we heard a fight. Mm-hmm. So the door closes and Paul is laid out on the floor. Zach showed him who was boss, I guess. So that was how we end the Zach and Brie. I'm gonna call it the Zach and Brie storyline.
I would say episode. That storyline goes hand in hand.
And other than that, we don't, those are all the storylines, you guys.
I think it was a really good episode. I don't know, I feel like all the storylines were moving.
Good headway here.
We got to know all the characters a lot better, I feel like.
Even some of the husbands. Yeah. I liked that we got to know Carlos a little bit more.
And Tom. We Tom and Lynette scenes. Like, I like them together. Like, I like watching them interact.
Yeah. And I liked this new relationship formed between Zach and Brie. Mm-hmm. I loved Mama Solis.
Me too.
I liked this episode overall. Mm-hmm. So who's your fuck, marry, kill? Episode 5. Fuck, marry, kill.
Episode 5. Fuck, marry, kill. I went first last time, so I'm going to let you go first this time.
Marry Mama Solis.
Okay.
Because she would kill for you. Because if she's in love with me, she would kill for me. And absolutely. I like that. I'm trying to think of who I would kill. I'm going to kill the cop. Okay, that sounds bad to say. Oh my god, maybe I should cut that out.
Delete. Like, we're gonna get like NSA's fucking listening to us.
I'm gonna kill
Officer Thompson.
I'm gonna kill Officer Thompson because he was a textbook abuser that tried to degrade Susan in public and make her doubt herself and gaslight her. So kill Officer Thompson. I'm gonna fuck Mike this episode. For finally making a move on Susan.
Okay.
We see he's capable.
Yeah. I like that. Those are good answers.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm going to say something controversial. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm nervous.
I'm going to kill Gabby.
Whoa.
one of the main ladies.
Took it there.
Like I said, that scene with her and John made me uncomfortable. I really didn't like it.
All my lunch money, the pep squad, meet me at the mall.
Yeah, maybe I'll kill John while I'm at it just because he's like bugging me too. No, Gabby really pissed me off this episode, and I would agree to marry Mama Solis because you're right, like she'd take good care of you.
Yeah,
as long as you're good to her, she's gonna take good care of you. As long as you're loyal to her, apparently. So I'm gonna go with Mama Solis. For fuck, I'm gonna say Lynette and Tom. I'm going to say a threesome with
Lynette. Whoa. Actually, that's a great answer.
I love their chemistry. I feel like they'd be a good time. They clearly know what they're doing, making all those kids. I'm going to go with them.
They know what they're doing. Yes. They fuck all the time. Yeah.
Your I'll answer, be their slay. Unicorn. Is-
A unicorn. What's a unicorn? Look up the Vanity Fair article.
Rudy Giuliani's daughter. Look up that and Vanity Fair and unicorn and...
You're in keywords.
You're in for a good read.
So I'm going to nominate Mrs. Solis as Housewife of the Week.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say yes to that.
Yes.
That's our Housewife of the Week.
Because she might not be a regular yet, but she is Housewife number one. She protected her children. She created a good life for her son to make tons of money to marry a model.
Yeah.
And she
didn't raise no bitch.
Yeah, she took control of every situation besides when she got arrested. But
even then.
I don't know. She assaulted a cop. Yeah, she assaulted a mall cop.
She's like, don't touch me. Yeah, I was like, she's going to fucking fight them.
She popped off.
Yeah.
I love Mama Solis, and that's Housewife of the Week, I think, for us. And with that, we've arrived at our Apple rating.
Apple rating time. Okay. I got mine.
Okay, I've got mine as well.
Okay,
3, 2, 1, 4.5. Whoa, okay, you went higher. I thought about doing a 4.5
this time.
Whoa, and you've seen the whole series. Yeah. So that says a lot.
I just like really enjoyed this episode.
Oh shit.
Just like a lot happened. I feel like every character was moving in a good direction. We got a new, like Mama Solis was a great addition to this week.
Yeah.
A great, like I think it spiced up the Gabby storyline. Like I think they tried to do that with the little girl next door. It just didn't. It wasn't good.
Yeah, we never have seen that girl again, by the way. That blackmail didn't hit.
It was stupid. So, like, with the Mama Solis, I just feel like we get, like, it's not just, like, the same thing over and over and over again with Gabby and John trying not to get caught, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have to deal with any weird stereotypes or hate crimes in this episode. Like, it was just...
Yeah, our single diverse moment was with Lynette and Tom.
Yeah.
When they have twins, which doesn't make you diverse.
And I think I like the episodes where we get a little more of the husband, like, where we get more insight into, like, the men in the show. There is a famous episode in, like, season 3 that's narrated not by Mary Alice, and I'm not going to tell you who. And it's one of my favorite episodes. It's the only episode like that, and I can't tell you who, but it's so good.
Oh my gosh, something to look forward to.
Yeah, and you'll probably be able to guess who narrates it at a certain point, but I feel like we don't get a ton of, like, focus on the men's when we do get those little moments where we see more into their perspective. I just enjoy it because I think it adds to the women's storylines. Like,
yeah.
It adds more depth
to it.
It
enhances it for me. Like, understanding that about Carlos gives me more perspective about where he's coming from and his worldview and why, like, buying things like this might be meaningful to him and, like, why taking – that's how he's trying to take care of his wife, although it's maybe not how she wants – I mean, fuck Gabby, though. She's cheating on him with a 16-year-old guy.
Yeah.
I get more insight into who Carlos is and why that might be how his mind works.
Well, and I think, like, he makes a comment, too, like, she's unhappy, like, I can't figure out what's going on. And granted, he doesn't always start the conversations well, but we have seen him try to sit her down and be like, talk to me.
Yeah, we
and
did
And then she
see
tells
that.
Him what to do. He does it, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that must be a frustrating point in your marriage. Mm-hmm. on both ends. Yeah. Like, for him especially, she just is having an affair to deal with it. For me, I gave it a 4 because I didn't know what was yet to come. And so I was like, I don't want to go give it high marks. Yeah. But I enjoyed meeting extraneous characters like Mama Celeste, who might come back. I did enjoy meeting the cop, if not only to kill him in my fuck, marry, kill game. I thought that it is about breaking and entering. I thought all the storylines were beautiful. They beautifully hit on that theme, but also we did see a lot of domestic abuse. I thought it was interesting for a show like this to cover that in different ways because we saw it with like Gabby and John, where it's a little bit more emotional and mental. And then we saw it with this cop who on date one is just a complete tool.
Like the moment he gets put off, he's a dick.
Yeah. And then we see it in like a father-son relationship where the kid fucking punches his dad.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually a super interesting topic. And I thought they covered it and approached it in an interesting way. So that for me did it. Maybe I should have given it higher because I felt like those themes were strong. Overall, I'm satisfied. And as always, it keeps leaving me wanting more. I'm scared for the day where I see an episode and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Or it's like where I give it 2 apples.
I mean, I'm sure off the top of my head, I don't see any 2 apple episodes in our future anytime soon.
Okay, good.
But I obviously there are episodes that are going to be weaker. Yeah. Especially because like these first few, like they're just hitting it right out the gate.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they have a clear vision of what they want to do. And I think like that's why this first season is so tight and why it was such a big hit.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for it to fall apart. Season 7 or whatever. However many there are. Never as bad as Lost. But yes, you guys, we made it through another episode. And we hope that you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed our opinions and our perspective.
And as always, shoot us a DM, an email, comment on a post. Give us your feedback. Rate us, review us. We want to hear what you think. Join our conversation. How do you feel about Mama Solis? We need to know everyone's opinion.
Yeah,
on Mama
we
Solis.
Will be posting about her more often. We're so happy that you're along for the ride and we're so grateful for it. And if you just started watching along like I have, let us know how you feel. If you're a veteran like Jordan, let us know if you have started revisiting it or what it's like watching it again in 2021, where we've seen a lot of controversial shit these last couple episodes. With all that, we can't wait to have you guys tune in next week, hopefully. As always, Mondays are our day. We will be dropping episodes every Monday. We will catch up with you then, but we'll leave you with our words of wisdom as always to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.